Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So, Elliot, I have a question for you. Have you ever purchased an item or a product just because an influencer was advertising, sponsoring, marketing it?
Or my shoes.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, influencer marketing is what we want to talk about, because this is what you see, right? You get a niche content creator to improve brand awareness, increase traffic, and then drive home the brand's message to the audience.
Yeah, you know, these content creators already market to your ideal audience across different channels. And if you think about it, it really allows you to expand your reach across your buyer personas.
That's right. So some examples: social media, blogs, columns, digital and print ads, and television. There are so many avenues for this.
And it's increasingly more popular among businesses these days because traditional advertising has become less effective in attracting leads and customers.
So our next guest is part of Party Post, and their mission is to connect brands with everyday people and influencers.
We have on the line Hilary Tam, who is marketing manager at Party Post. Hilary, good morning.
Morning.
Help me out. I have an ambition. I want to become an influencer. Hilary, where do I start?
I think it's very simple. So, of course, first of all, you need to have social media. I think right now, choice of social media in Singapore is most likely to be Instagram or maybe Facebook. Mm. So, firstly, you need to have that. And, of course, you need to have an interest, right? Be it if you're keen on, you know, food, you're keen on, you know, FMCG, lifestyle. Pick one interest and really get into it. Know your things.
So it's sort of a niche genre in that sense.
Exactly.
Oh. Okay. So, Hilary, Party Post, this is an app, right? Just tell us a little bit about it and why this makes marketing campaigns a bit easier.
Basically, at Party Post, we are a crowd marketing platform, right? So we have two channels. So one, it's a user-facing mobile app. And the other is a brand-facing dashboard. What we do essentially is that we allow brands to launch their campaigns onto the app, and influencers are able to browse through and join the ones that are of interest to them. So essentially, we are crowdsourcing the marketing campaigns. So we're like a matchmaker between the two sides. We allow, you know, everyday influencers to share about the brand and get rewarded for it. And at the same time, brands can run their campaigns essentially with influencers that are of their right target audience. And we are able to do this at a scale and with speed.
Oh, wow. So you're like a brand dating app. Mm. All right. Let's talk about, though, the difference between a brand influencer and a brand ambassador. You know what comes to mind? I'm just thinking about David Beckham and Marina Bay Sands, right?
I'm also thinking the same thing.
But this isn't quite the same thing you're talking about, is it?
No. So we're talking more on everyday influencers, which essentially they are like your nano influencers. So they are your everyday people. We're talking about, you know, from a few hundred followers to maybe up to, say, 5,000 followers in that sense. So much smaller following.
Okay, wait. You mentioned everyday people and you mentioned a few 100,000 to 5,000 followers on their social media feed. I'm guessing that there are different tiers. Would I be right to say that?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and what kind of tiers are we talking about? I mean, what's the difference? Is it really just follower numbers?
So, you know, we have, you know, your celebrities, your macro influencers. So those are your, you know, few hundred thousand, hundreds of thousands of followers, right? Okay. They're the famous people, basically. You have your micro influencers. So these already they're slightly smaller in following. So they are more of your, I guess in that sense, almost like ambassadors, right? They are people that, you know, they have a specific niche. So people go to them for very specific categories. And then you have your next level, which I think is definitely newer to the industry, your nano influencers, your everyday people. And they've been around since the beginning of time, but I think it's really right now where people are starting to see that, you know, they too can share a message across to their audience.
Right. Relatability and all that coming into play.
Exactly. It's very similar to how, you know, your family and friends share recommendations to you and you go on to then try those places out. It's the exact same model in that sense.
So how big is this influencer marketing in Asia?
I think right now in Asia, you have about 360 million people online, with at least 90% of them using mobile. So I think that itself, it's huge. It's amazing.
Is it possible to put a value to influencer marketing? I mean, we spoke earlier about how traditional marketing is losing its effectiveness. And I assume because everyone owns a mobile phone, that's one of the reasons why.
Yes. So I think in Asia, we're really seeing that, you know, it's a very young market, right? With 90% of people being on mobile. So that itself, the market is huge.
Okay, so how many influencers are there in Singapore, would you say?
I think in Singapore alone, there is about 1.9 million active users on Instagram.
Okay. Influencers?
Oh, sorry, Instagram users.
Okay.
So how many influencers? So, for example, obviously Party Post would have them on its platform. How many influencers would we say there are in Singapore? Like, who's influencing us on the nano level?
So in Singapore itself, right now for Party Post, we have about 26,000 plus users. I would say that we really can't put a fixed figure on it because we really believe that, you know, everyone can be an influencer.
Okay, Hillary, and by the way, we're on the line with Hillary Tam, who's marketing manager at Party Post. You said everyone can be an influencer. I know that's meant to be positive, but is it possible that there are disadvantages of everyone being an influencer? It's like everyone has a say now.
I think in terms, there's always pros and cons to whichever tier you are to use.
Okay.
With nano influencers, I think the pro is that, you know, you get your higher engagement. Mm. There is authenticity in that, right, in terms of relevance. Of course, the other side, you have to look at it. You do have to do it at a scale, right? Where if you're just using, you know, one or two people, yes, they too can, you know, share their recommendations and they are still authentic, etc. But of course, in terms of if you want to compare it to your macros, your celebrities, to have a similar effect, you do have to do it at a scale.
Okay. But in terms of like the value add, and I'm trying to phrase this question the best I can. In my head, it sounds right. Like regular people, say regular people go into a hotel, they enjoy the experience and it's not a sponsored post in that sense. They really genuinely put that recommendation out. I mean, what's in it for these guys? Then it's just word of mouth in that sense.
Exactly. So it is word of mouth marketing. And I think this is where Party Post comes in, where, you know, we can reward the users, right? We can reward these everyday people when they share about the brand.
Okay, so you guys come in as a third party to sort of connect in that sense.
Exactly. So we have all these, you know, campaigns, brands that launch campaigns. So there's a payout to it. So people can get rewarded. So it's essentially very transparent.
Okay.
Actually, you know, the primitive version of this was, I've heard of this before, people being given vouchers to go and eat in restaurants and then review the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Is that what this is? Is this the modern day evolution of what started, you know, many decades ago?
I think it's definitely very similar. I think it stems from, you know, the main idea it really stems from, you know, when you go into a restaurant, you dine with your friends, you see people, your mobile phone will eat first, right? Your camera eats first. So everyone's already advertising in that sense, right? You're already sharing about it. So why not get rewarded for it?
That sounds like a decent idea. Can I just ask though, so this is part of our Marketing Monday segment, and it's a really good one for companies themselves to understand how they can use influencer marketing the right way. You know, if there's a young entrepreneur listening right now, what would you tell them about the do's and don'ts of using influencer marketing?
So I think the first main do for sure is to identify your marketing objectives realistically. Right. So if you are, say, a new to market brand, there are probably certain kind of campaigns that you need to push first. So, for instance, you need to do your brand awareness campaigns first before you push for, you know, a direct sales or conversion focused campaign with influencers. And the another would be, you know, using the right mix of influencers across the tiers. So don't just be fixated that, you know, I can only use celebrities or I can only use nano influencers. Using the right mix will essentially kind of bring out the best of influencer marketing. And in terms of don't, I think figure is not always better. So I think that's a very common misconception that, you know, the higher the number of followers, the better it is. Social media platforms are also always optimizing their user experience. So chances are, you know, not all of the posts are actually being seen by all of the followers. Only a small percentage of it is being seen. So this is also why nano influencers do have the highest rate of engagement because majority of their followers are likely to be friends and family.
So I see this is a bit of a, I'm sorry, Hillary. So this is like a response to how Facebook and Instagram has sort of changed their algorithms over the past few years, where only a percentage get to see the popular posts.
In a way, yes. I do think that the bigger influencers and macros, the micros, the celebrities, they are also working towards, you know, creating even better content, more engaging content, so that, you know, they can kind of be shown more often. But I think it by nature, because nano influencers, bulk of their followers are friends and family, right? So by nature, there's a leg up in that.
Okay. What does this say to trends? Because I like that you brought up that and the whole nano influencer thing. Take, for example, in Singapore, when they first opened the staycations after COVID-19, I see a lot of regular people posting about staycations, very beautiful photographs, you know, try out the pool at this hotel and whatnot. Is this the new trend that we can expect going into 2021, perhaps?
Definitely. What we see is, so influencers are also known as key opinion leaders, your KOLs. Okay. We do see this shift into KOC, so key opinion consumers. So I think this is something that's already happening in China, where people are combining, you know, social media with e-commerce, right? Xiaohongshu is a very common, very popular one. So what we're seeing right now is Instagram launched a checkout function earlier this year. So I believe still in beta mode, probably still available in the U.S. only right now, but we do foresee this being picked up, the use of KOCs.
I wanted to jump in there because you were talking about China, and there has been a conversation around the reliability of, you know, because there's just such a fervent move towards these social media platforms in China and selling goods on a lot of these platforms and influencing others to buy goods. But there's been an issue also around false reviews and false postings. How do you get around those challenges?
So I think with that, we're talking about these key opinion consumers, right? They are very similar to nano influencers. So they are doing this out of interest. So right now, if you look at it, nano influencers, influencer is not their main chunk of income, right? They're doing this out of interest or as a hobby. Mm-hmm. So the motivations behind sharing their recommendations is different.
Okay.
Not so much driven by monetary incentives.
Okay. Hillary, what do you think, and now that we're in this we're not really post-COVID, but we're in this pivoting phase of businesses, which is the most popular social media platform right now to influence? Is it Facebook or Instagram?
I will say Instagram for sure, just because of the demographics that's on it and the amount of time that people are spending on it as well, right? I think with Instagram, I mentioned 1.9 million Instagram users. I think about 40% of them do fall between the 25 to 32 age bracket. So it makes them the best market to kind of really push things out to.
Interesting.
And how have you seen a change in behavior since the beginning of the year and since we've seen this pandemic unfold to what we know of it today?
I think, especially if we're talking on the brand's side of things, I think COVID really accelerated some of the trends that were underway. We've seen an uptick in brands, you know, really using everyday influencers. So I think it really kind of pushed them because, you know, marketing budgets are being cut. Brands have less money to spend. So they started going smaller, right? Because they are a budget-friendlier option in that sense. And of course, if done the right way, they essentially don't lose out to traditional influencers. In fact, they have, like, you know, your higher engagement rates, which means you get a higher ROI in that sense.
Oh, okay. I'm actually quite surprised because I had anticipated that you might say that because of the rapid digitalization that many companies have had to go through, particularly in F&B, that you may have had a lot more clients come onto the platform looking for influencers to promote their business. Was that?
Definitely.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
So I think what Party Post offers is, I think traditionally, you know, brands are used to sponsoring influencers, you know, meals, et cetera. And then, of course, when COVID hit, budgets are being cut, right? They are not as likely to freely just give things out for free. So with Party Post, essentially, what we do is they don't actually need to sponsor, right? The influencers are actually going down, regular customers, they pay for their meals, they create their content, and then they actually go onto the app and they submit their content. So I think in terms of process, the process of how influencer marketing is being done, it's different.
Yeah, a bit of journalistic integrity as well, because, you know, it's not a freebie in that sense. Does this mean that people don't care about blogs anymore?
I don't think that people don't care about blogs anymore. I think it's a different medium, you know, long form, short form, okay, in terms of people don't have as much time right now to read a full on article. But of course, if you're doing research, right, then that would come in handy. That'll be great because it's very detailed.
We've been speaking with Hilary Tapp, who is marketing manager at Party Post. Hilary, thanks a lot for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.